Thank you. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about antiretroviral-based HIV prevention strategy for HIV-uninfected individuals. And so specifically, I'll be talking about post-exposure prophylaxis use among men who have sex with men who use crystal methamphetamine in Boston. So I have no disclosures. So just a really brief overview of the HIV epidemic among MSM in the United States. HIV prevalence has been estimated to be about 15% generally among MSM in the U.S., so it's quite high. And they bear a disproportionate burden of the HIV epidemic. So in 2010, the CDC estimated that MSM account for 63% of new HIV infections in the U.S. And HIV incidence, although it's stable in some sort of general population level, is increasing among MSM in the U.S. and particularly among younger MSM of color. So it's definitely an important, a really important thing to understand kind of what some of the drivers of this epidemic are in the U.S. Crystal methamphetamine is a highly addictive psychostimulant, and it's been very well established to be associated with higher risk of sexual behavior and incident of HIV infection among MSM. The prevalence of meth use is much higher among MSM than it is among the general population. It's thought to be about 20 times higher. And to date, there are very few HIV prevention interventions that have been developed for MSM who use meth specifically, despite the fact that we know that it really results in a much higher probability of acquiring HIV. It's also very treatment refractory, so it's really difficult. It's a really difficult substance use disorder to treat. HIV post-exposure prophylaxis consists of a 28-day course of antiretroviral therapy. It needs to be initiated within 72 hours of potential exposure to HIV. There have been historical concerns related to the ability of meth users to adhere to PEP regimens. So I'm talking about non-occupational post-exposure prophylaxis, and I'll refer to it as PEP throughout the course of the talk. And so there have been a lot of concerns both with PEP as well as with antiretroviral therapy for MSM who use meth, who are living with HIV, about their ability to adhere to the regimen. So in some centers, there has been evidence that providers are not willing to provide PEP. There's also been evidence that meth users are less aware of PEP as a HIV prevention strategy. And so obviously to seek out PEP with your provider, you have to know that this exists and be able to go to a provider who's willing to give it to you. So the objective of the current study was to characterize meth use at two levels. We were interested in both event level crystal meth use, so that would be at the time of the exposure that led to the PEP visit, and then to look at the effect of chronic meth use, so defined as a chronic methamphetamine use disorder on longer term outcomes. So our study objectives are really twofold, to look at the event itself and look at long term outcomes. We conducted a retrospective chart review of all non-occupational post-exposure prophylaxis users at Fenway Community Health, which is a large LGBT healthcare center in Boston, Massachusetts. We had a long time period of records that we could look at, so we included all records from July 1st, 1997 through August 1st, 2013. We included individuals who were 18 years of older or older at the time of their first PEP visit, and we included all sexual and or non-occupational intravenous drug needle exposures to HIV. So we excluded occupational exposures, but we have both forcible and non-forcible sexual exposures and IV drug use exposures. For the present analysis, we restricted just to men who have sex with men. And all of our participants were HIV negative by antibody or RNA test at the time of their first PEP visit. So we extracted all the data from the electronic medical records. And in terms of definitions, we defined event-level methamphetamine use as meth use at the time of exposure. And so all providers asked all of the patients if they had used any substances at the time of the exposure that led to PEP. Not just meth, they asked about any substance use. And then a chronic meth use was defined as a history of referral for treatment for methamphetamine use. And so whether or not they had actually sought out treatment, we had some people who had and some people who hadn't, and they were all defined as having a chronic methamphetamine use disorder. Our outcomes included event-level HIV risk, which included condom use and the serostatus of their partner. And the long-term outcomes included HIV seroconversion rates and returning to the center for repeat PEP use. So we used logistic generalized estimating equation models to model event level HIV risk, and we did this because people could come back for more than one PEP visit. So there were, we had people in our database who had multiple PEP visits. Our long-term outcomes were modeled with HIV seroconversion with Cox proportional hazards model and repeat PEP use with logistic regression. And we ran multivariable models that were adjusted for age, race ethnicity, access to healthcare, which included variables like insurance and being engaged in primary care at Fenway, and psychiatric comorbidities. So we had 788 MSM PEP users at Fenway and during that time period. And there were over 1,000 PEP prescriptions among that sample. 7.4% of the chronic of the PEP users of the MSM had chronic methamphetamine use evidence in their medical record. And of the PEP prescriptions, 7.4% of them reported using meth at the time of their exposure. And those with methamphetamine use were more likely to be engaged at in primary care at Fenway. You'll see in the analyses, but we did restrict just to people who, we did a sensitivity analysis restricting just to people engaged in primary care, since you can imagine there could be big differences between people who are in primary care at Fenway and those who are not. Those with methamphetamine use disorder more frequently had a history of homelessness and more frequently had comorbid psychiatric conditions, including anxiety, depression, and bipolar. In terms of long-term outcomes, we noted that MSM who had a meth use, chronic methamphetamine use, had significantly higher rates of HIV seroconversion over our follow-up period. And they also had considerably higher odds of returning for a repeat PEP visit. So taken together, these are indicative of longer, more recurrent HIV exposure. In terms of event level risk, so for event-level crystal methamphetamine use was associated with higher odds of condomless anal intercourse as the exposure that led to seeking PEP, and this is compared to having a condom break. So in order to get PEP, you have to reasonably suspect that you were exposed to HIV in some way, and so these were condomless exposures as opposed to attempting to use a condom and having the condom break. There were also... There were no differences among in event level crystal methamphetamine use in terms of knowing that their partner was living with HIV as opposed to not knowing. So again, if you know that your partner is HIV uninfected, typically they're not given PEP. So this is knowing that your partner is living with HIV compared to not knowing your HIV partner's or your partner's HIV serostatus. And this could be indicative of a lot of the event level crystal methamphetamine use was associated with anonymous partners. And so this could be driven by that. Alternatively, we can see with the chronic crystal meth use, again, they were more likely or had higher odds of condomless anal intercourse compared to a condom breaking. And these men actually were more likely to know that their partner was living with HIV. And so that could reflect the social and sexual networks that people belong to and exist within. So taken together, these results suggest that crystal methamphetamine users have ongoing exposure to HIV. And also, in comparison to kind of what the existing literature, and we can see that both at the event level and chronic level, that crystal methamphetamine use is associated with higher risk sexual activity. There are a few limitations to keep in mind when you're considering these data. This is a retrospective chart review, and so there are missing data, as there always are with these types of studies, and there could also be inconsistencies in data recording over time. So we had a really long time period, so changing doctors, changing cultural norms, all of that. These data arose from a single center, and that center is Fenway Health, which is specifically an LGBT healthcare provider. It engages in very culturally competent care. And there could also be social desirability bias. So both in terms of reporting crystal meth use and in terms of social sexual behaviors, we rely entirely on self-report. And we know that it can be difficult to discuss some of these things with your doctor. And so there certainly could be misclassification because of that. But in conclusion, crystal methamphetamine using MSM who are engaged in primary care were able to identify and seek out their high-risk exposures. And specifically, they were able to come in within that 72-hour window and seek out post-exposure prophylaxis. PEP might be a viable HIV prevention intervention, and I think that expanding awareness of PEP as a strategy is really important. But consideration should also be made for ongoing risk. And so that could be pre-exposure prophylaxis. So it would be worth investigating pre-exposure prophylaxis in this population, but also, importantly, combined interventions. So combining substance use interventions with HIV prevention interventions could be especially powerful. So, thank you.
Any questions for Catherine? This is going to take you to a new level of this research. Are you going to keep going?
I hope so.
Phase.
Yeah, so some things that the members of the research group, including Sachin, who's my second author and was really, really instrumental in this project, Sachin Jain, really interested in the PEP to PrEP transition.
Yeah.
And so identifying people at the PEP moment, the kind of when people seek out PEP, it could be a really important moment for engaging people in care. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we're talking about and we're interested in, he's in New York City now and is working on thinking about that transition. At Fenway, they're also actively involved in developing new HIV or new substance use prevention or substance use interventions for meth use, including an HIV prevention component.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.